My mission in life, if you like, is to be an initiator for people, to initiate them into their own conscious awareness, to show them how to heal and master their own mind, and to become the solution for their own life. And therefore, from there, you know, we become the solution for the world around us.
My name is Phil Golding, and this is the path of awareness, healing, and empowerment.
So the focus of my teaching, my coaching work, really concerns the dark night of the soul stage, of where the ego can no longer control the world, control its environment, control its mind, and things start breaking down. You know, that can be due to suffering, but also intuition, just an inner knowing that there's got to be more than this. And so those two together tend to motivate a person to want to start turning inwards and realizing that they're the common factor in their suffering. That's ultimately preparing us to then, you know, start to face ourselves and learn how to face our mind, get above our mind, and then begin to lift our mind out of its confusion and suffering into our own heart, which is, we're learning to align our awareness to higher levels of consciousness.
So that process is, especially in the beginning, quite, I don't know if I would use the word difficult, but I could certainly say it's difficult or intense. How would you describe those beginning stages?
Well, it often involves some level of mental emotional breakdown, you know, some sort of challenge that breaks you down in some way. Some people don't need a lot of that because they've got a lot of intuition, that they sort of come with strong intentions already. But we can also be here to really challenge ourselves, and so we may choose on a high consciousness level a very difficult environment to be born into, challenging conditioning and things like that. But with enough intuition to know that I don't want to be this, you know, but still, you know, we can't, being a vulnerable child, we can't help but be wounded and conditioned and influenced by those experiences. But when we get old enough, you know, we're able to start to seek help and to start to learn how to be aware and to start to tackle our mind, which is a you know, serious business. It's a difficult journey to take.
Before someone is ready to do this sort of work, what do they usually try?
So before people are ready to do this sort of work, or, you know, during the breakdown stages of the initial letting go, if you like, you know, it's only natural that we want to try to fix it or avoid it, you know, run away from it. And so, you know, medications, drugs, alcohol, gaming, anything that is going to distract us. But of course, if we're breaking down, that's ultimately not going to do the job. And so we're here to do the work. Inevitably, we just simply have to do it if we don't want to suffer.
Awakening your power to heal.
So when people usually come to you, is acceptance the biggest thing that they're really struggling with?
In order to embark on that journey, you know, the unconditional self-acceptance is the doorway into being able to turn around and safely face yourself. Because unconditional acceptance is the opposite to everything that we've, you know, built up in our mind that is judging us, that is deeming us unworthy. And ultimately, that is the source of our suffering. So in order to embark on the process of healing, awakening, growing, unconditional self-acceptance is the key that opens the heart. It's the key that enables you to turn around and face yourself safely. You know, it enables you to open up that Pandora's box without getting beat up by it. And this is why it's so difficult when it comes to try to face yourself, is you encounter all the unconscious self-judgment, self-condemnation, lack of self-worth issues. They just come at you. And so you're dealing with either when you turn around and try to go into your mind and face yourself like a wall of fire of self-judgment, or an abyss of feeling, you know, totally alone, abandoned. And that is determined by the conditioning and the experiences that you've had. But the unconditional self-acceptance, it is recognizing on an intuitive level that that is the way, you know, that you want to be treated. And therefore, that's the way to approach your mind. You become the representative on an awareness level of unconditional acceptance to your own mind. And therefore, we can then enter the mind, encounter the self-judging, the negative self-talk. But because we're now aligned to unconditional self-acceptance, we're identifying with that, and identifying less with the negative self-talk that is causing our suffering and that will keep defeating us without aligning ourselves to the unconditional self-acceptance. And so that's why it's so difficult to turn around and face yourself, start working on stuff, because we're still identified with the self-judgments, the lack of self-worth. And so that will defeat us when we try to step in. And so that's why the unconditional self-acceptance is the key that enables us to open that door safely. We can encounter the self-judgments, the negative self-talk, but we're learning to no longer identify with it. We can identify it, but we're no longer identifying with it, because we've got the ultimate principle of unconditional self-acceptance to continue to come back to reinforce ourselves with, to strengthen ourselves with, to be able to move into the mind, realizing the mind is just confused. You know, we're not wrong for being human. We're not wrong for, you know, making mistakes. We're not wrong for being abused or whatever environment we grew up in. That was an experience. So we're learning to recognize that there's a vulnerable human self there that needs love, that needs mentoring, that needs support from our very own awareness. So a common question I would ask a client or someone I'm coaching is, what do you think you need to do to be worthy? And the ego mind, you know, usually starts coming up with a big list, whilst the intuition is saying, well, hang on, you know, there's something not quite, you know, rational about all those things my mind is coming up with. And we realize that the longer the list, the more we're realizing that we're putting our worth, our power outside of ourself. And so it's like we wake up every morning and beg someone to permission to be worthy, and that puts us in a very vulnerable position. But because we grow up with, you know, and develop all that conditioning, it's all built into our unconscious, we don't realize that we're doing that. We don't realize that we regard ourselves as unworthy unless I reach some standard, which is arbitrary. Everyone's got a different set of standards. They may be similar, but they're all unique, that we impose on ourselves. And so this is very important, because this comes right to the reality of the illusion of separateness, of I am separate from life, I am separate from oneness, if you like, which is ultimately unconditional love. And again, we're thinking it's out there, but it's not. We're all plugged into it. like plugged directly into the mains, drawing from the mains all the time. And so when we realize that there is nothing we need to do to be worthy, we exist. That's it. We're already here. We've already got our ticket. We've already arrived. That's the validation of our worthiness. We're already here to do this journey. Everyone on this planet is absolutely equal on that level. We're all totally worthy of what? Unconditional love, universal love. But there's a conundrum there. Where do we get that unconditional love from? There's the journey of coming to understand that I am already plugged into that, and it's my own capacity for awareness, bringing that into awakened consciousness and realizing that I am the source of that love. If I can love you, I can love myself. To the degree that I don't love myself makes it challenging to love you. You know, this is the awareness that we're building, and the more we become aware of that, the more we then have to give our mind, to lift our mind out of its confusion. To think we're unworthy is to think that we are separate from life and we have to beg permission to be part of life. And that's an illusion.
So what do I need to do to be worthy?
Nothing. You don't have to do anything to be worthy. Nothing. Breathe. Don't even have to do that. But nothing, you know, it means that everything in life is an experience. There's no failure, there's, you know, that we make mistakes, but it's not a failure, it's an experience. Nothing undermines our worthiness. It's simply an experience. Now an opportunity to learn from, once we start pulling the self-judgments out of it and all those arbitrary standards that disempower us. I'm meant to be here in this world. I'm meant to be human. I'm meant to get lost. I'm meant to get confused. I'm meant to make mistakes, hurt people, get hurt. That's the human journey. That's the experience.
So you don't reject any part of the human experience. It seems like your teaching is actually about accepting and loving all of it.
You can't work with it unless you accept it. If I'm a mechanic and someone, you know, sticks a motor in front of me to fix, and I say, I don't like Toyotas, I don't want to fix that. You're not going to earn much money as a mechanic, you know. You accept what you've got to work with. And so when it comes to healing your mind, that's your mind. That's what you've got to work with. It's irrelevant what has occurred. That's what is here now. That's what you have to work with. And so it's completely opening your heart to and accepting what it is. As a child, you know, we are a genuine victim of circumstances because we don't have the power over our life. We don't have agency. And so the older we grow and the more control we have over our life, the more we can take charge of our life. By the time we're an adult, it's the understanding that brings us ultimate empowerment, is that our mind is 100% the cause of our suffering. That's extremely difficult for the ego to grasp and to accept because, you know, we've been taught that everyone else is doing this stuff to us, which is occurring as a kid. But we're not a child anymore. But our mind is conditioned into that child state. And the suffering that I experienced as a child was real. You know, and I couldn't do anything about it as a child, but I can as an adult. So I can go back to my mind through all my memories now with the agency and power that I have now. And so the unconditional acceptance is accepting also total responsibility for being the parent, the conscious, aware parent, the student of wisdom and love for my own mind. Awakening your awareness. I work with people who are ready to do the work on some level or another. And so there's an intuition that they have that there's got to be a way. You know, it's not hopeless, it's not pointless, it's got to be a way. You know, because we're willing, ready to face ourselves, but we don't know how. You know, it's you know, yeah, you need to face yourself, but how to do it, you know. And so that's where we start to work with those principles. The unconditional acceptance enables us to start to open things up. And the personal responsibility is really the key to freedom, to our power. It's understanding my mind is my mind. And it's the validation, the affirmation that I have the potential to master my mind. I cannot master something that I don't own. Back to the mechanic that doesn't like working on Toyotas. You know, you cannot master your mind if you're blaming everybody else for it. But you're not blaming yourself either. This is the important thing. You're not judging yourself for being human. Everyone is human. No one meant to be doing what they're doing because it's all out of confusion. We're all lost. Okay, but the only one person ultimately who can heal my mind is myself. I can have support. People can help me do that. But they've got to be, they're helping me help myself. And that's what I'm doing for people. I'm helping them help themselves. Showing them how to be the mentor, sanctuary, loving parent, healer of their own mind.
And I guess to the extent that they become a healer to their own mind and accept and love everything about themselves determines how much they're able to love other people and everyone else. And
yeah, the quality of your relationship with the world around you and the people in that world is dependent on the quality of the relationship with yourself. That's important to understand. If you're handed really good functioning conditioning in this life, you've been handed those principles already. You are naturally accepting yourself unconditionally and you are naturally taking personal responsibility for your mind. That is why things are working for you. You don't think about it. If something happens that is difficult, you're not going to add it up to, therefore I'm unworthy. It's just not going to occur to you because you've been conditioned throughout your childhood due to the reinforcements and validation and care and consistency in that regard to accept yourself as you are. So that's your foundation already. But it's been handed to you. But so many of us are here to learn to build that ourselves. And so we start off with a handicap system, if you like. We enter an environment where our parents, let's say, are wounded and lost themselves and they don't know how to validate that for us. So we end up with a whole bunch of confusion in our conditioning that causes us to feel separate from life. But if you've got that conditioning, then you're naturally going to be living these principles. That's why it works for them. It'll work the same way for those of us who are learning, growing, and healing. But of course, launching ourselves in the world means we often crash and burn because of our, you know, challenging and confused conditioning. You know, which is again the catalyst to having to face ourselves and try to heal. So our journey is slower, but nothing's going to work for us really until we do this. And so we're here to do this journey as a part of being in the world. We can't, if we try to keep avoiding it and try to get on with, you know, being in the world like everyone else, the norms, if you like, we'll just keep crashing and burning. You know, we have to build that foundation. If you don't have that foundation, you're going to keep falling over. So it takes time to accept that. So it's often we have a lot of different, you know, false starts to the process because we want to grasp at it. And we don't understand, you know, the depth of the mind and what we need to do. So it's only natural. It takes time to, you know, depending on our level of intuition, that can take a few goes to get some traction. And that's pretty common. You know, it's all there. So it's not a mystery anymore. We know how to do this. We know how to heal and grow and awaken. It's a physics. We know how to do that now. So it's a matter of having the faith and stepping in, learning, opening your heart, and, you know, accepting the support and never giving up. No matter how many obstacles you encounter, no matter how much stuff comes up that you have to deal with, one step at a time, one day at a time, you will inevitably break through layer after layer after layer and get to a place where you feel very free, competent, experienced. You are the parent of your mind. You know what to do. You know, when difficulties come, they're now experiences and opportunities for you to heal and grow even more because you know what you're doing. You are the master of your mind. It's not about ultimate enlightenment. We don't need that in the world right now. We need aware, conscious people who know how to take care of their own minds. We're learning to get beyond our confusion and woundedness that we, you know, in our fight or flight, unconscious way of projecting out onto others, causing conflict and, you know, suffering. We're learning to stop that. We're learning to embrace our own self, be our own sanctuary, be our own solution. And when we do that, we recognize, we know then how to be with others, hold the space for others, work positively, constructively with others who may be confused themselves. So we stop being part of the problem and we start being part of the solution. So that's the, you know, the smaller to the bigger picture of what we're doing here. To evolve myself is me now participating in evolving humanity itself. So we're not going to evolve as humanity unless it starts with the individual. Because I can't really serve and lead and be a benefit to others unless it's genuinely authentic, coming from my own healing, integration, wisdom.
That's a really good point, actually. There's a book that I've read a long time ago. I think it's called Spiritual Materialism. The author doesn't explain it this way, but what I took away from it, my own perception, is that a lot of people, they try to take on these leadership positions as another role that the ego can play.
We just keep going around and around in circles, making the same mistakes over and over again. And you're not going to stop making those mistakes over and over again until you face yourself and start to take responsibility for your mind and stop blaming the world for what's going on for you. That's why we struggle to pick good leaders, because we don't know those principles, because we don't have the experience of taking responsibility for our own minds. We don't know what it is to be a good parent to ourselves. So until we learn that and understand and live and experience those principles, the power of those principles that are universal and eternal, these principles are permanent, they never change. You know, when we align our awareness to them, they will, you know, we will start to heal and evolve. And knowing that enables then us to be able to recognize that in another.
Right. If we don't know it ourselves, we can't recognize it in another.
No. So in terms of the essential principles that enable us to heal and grow, this is what I had to learn in my own healing journey. And once I came to understand those principles, it helped me, enabled me to understand how life works. And I realized I had come to understand principles as an eternal, permanent, constant factor like physics, like gravity. And so acceptance, unconditional acceptance, is your key to healing that sense of separation. That's so utterly important. So unconditional acceptance is an essential quality of unconditional love. There is no healing of the mind without unconditional love. Now, it's very important to understand that trying to get unconditional love from the world, you know, is going to be fleeting, you know, because we're all human, you know, so we're all struggling with our own journey. Now, I'm human too, but what am I trying to heal? I'm trying to heal my own mind. Okay, now, in terms of my own relationship with myself, my mind is a captive audience to my own awareness. Now, if I'm trying to work with you, for instance, I can't control you. You're a separate individual living your own life. I can only, you know, inspire, invite, encourage you to do the process, but you're over there. You know, you're a separate body, you're living a separate life. But in terms of my relationship between myself as awareness and my mind's not going anywhere. You know, he's not going to leave home when he's 20. You know, he's with me all my life. And so all my memories are with me all the time. They're all within my consciousness now, always. Now, fight or flight part of my mind may be trying to push it away and get away from it or whatever, because it doesn't know how to heal it on that level of our consciousness. But it's understanding that it's all within the power of my own consciousness on that higher level where I can actually heal it. So that's the trump card that we have it as an individual. That's where I can become the representative of unconditional love to my own mind. Because I can go to the same memory or block of memories where the trauma is, that open that box and, all that fear and scary stuff comes out at first. But I can learn how to continually work with it over and over again because it's not going anywhere. And so it's there for me to be able to keep growing and learning how to step into that with the power of that unconditional love, which is also ultimate wisdom. So I'm the student of that ultimate potential of my higher levels of consciousness. And by, you know, learning to face myself and to enter my mind as a representative of unconditional acceptance, and the personal responsibility is, this is my mind, so I'm taking full ownership of it. I don't know what to do with it yet, but I'm learning. And so those two principles of unconditional acceptance and total personal responsibility are my teacher. They represent the ultimate levels of my own potential as the master of my own mind.
Does a shift need to happen in identification for those principles to flourish, or can the ego do those principles to themselves?
The shifts or the healing or the awakening that comes by living, doing this process, you know, usually comes gradually, step by step. Yeah, when we talk about the ego, I regard our ego as the potential of our consciousness, but it's captured by the mind consciousness. You've got to look at yourself, understand yourself in terms of multi-level dimension. Your highest level of consciousness, let's say it's on this dimension, you as conscious awareness trying to drive the bus of your mind is this level, then your mind is at this level, you know, body that level, whatever. If you as awareness are not awake, you are ego, the potential of awareness, captured by the mind. You're identifying as the mind and the body. You are struggling to self-reflect, get perspective, see yourself beyond your conditioning, you know, and cultural conditioning and things like that. And so you as an ego are as only as functional as your conditioning is. That's why the ego gets a bad name, because it's often serving fear and confusion and acting out from those perspectives. Okay, and so it's the unconditional acceptance, self-acceptance and total personal responsibility that awakens, initiates our awareness out of that dimension of the mind into that higher perspective, from where we can stand in that higher perspective and observe the mind. As I said before, that unconditional self-acceptance is the opposite of everything in the mind that causes us to suffer. And total personal responsibility is the opposite of everything that makes us believe we're a victim and other people have power over us.
So how does the mind see things?
Well, the mind still sees the world as a child sees the world. Yeah, the conditioned mind, if it's negatively conditioned, like I said, if someone's been handed a very functional, you know, useful set of conditioning, that's already aligned very much to unconditional acceptance and personal responsibility. And so they're already operating on an awareness level, being the parent of their own mind at this level. That's something they don't have to think about. It's already been conditioned into their mind. They're still, you know, so they're not aware of that. You ask them how they do what they do, they can't really explain it. I've had conversations with very highly functioning people, you know, and they don't really know, because it's just been handed to you, you know what I mean? And so we're using those same principles to learn how to master our mind the same way that they simply have learned through their conditioning. So the unconditional self-acceptance is the key to the heart, the key to love, the key to being able to bring the love into your mind, into all your memories. And like you're jumping in Doctor Who's TARDIS and going back in time, because when you are looking into your mind, you're looking into the past. The mind is a recording of all of your human journey and thought structures that get encased in a loop and then just keep on repeating themselves through time. Those habits, those programs, and many of those are useful, help us walk and talk and things like that, but a lot of them are self-limiting, self-defeating. They cause us to hate ourselves or judge ourselves or...
So someone can go through life and have a certain experience, and then because they had a limited viewpoint or perception of that experience and of themselves, they can create a sort of a perpetuating negative loop where they perceive everything and themselves as that, and it just carries on, right?
That's right. So that's what conditioning is like a program computer. It can only operate based on what's in its program. And so, but awareness is different. Awareness on its own level is not subject to that conditioning. Awareness is now, always now. And as awareness, we utilize, we're operating through the short-term memory of the mind. As awareness, we're flexible, we're the guy in the moment, in charge. Let's look at driving a car. You know, most of the now that we've learned to drive a car and it's a routine thing, our conditioned mind is doing most of the driving. You know, so our conditioned mind is driving away, we're chatting away to Roger next to us and whatever. But our self as awareness is still present, paying attention in case something jumps out and we got to do something. That's why it's so hard to program a car to drive itself, because it's so hard to program awareness, because awareness is there to deal with any random factor. Okay, so if you go to school, they're teaching you as awareness, they're not teaching your mind. It's up to you as awareness to study that material. That's what gets it into your mind. Your mind is long-term memory. That's why the mind is such a difficult customer to deal with, because it's long-term memory. It's a program. It's a robot. It doesn't think. It just does. And so it's great if those programs work for you, but they're not based in now, they're based in the past. If that program is still functional and congruent with the present moment, that's great. But so often it is completely out of whack with the present moment. But because the mind on that level has no idea of the realities of the present moment and the consequences of the future, it will simply keep projecting its programs onto the present moment, which is why we just keep going around in circles having the same experiences, because we are literally creating those experiences by what we project onto the moment. So you get into a relationship, for instance, and it's wonderful at first because we're accepting each other unconditionally, but after about 6 months or so, the old unconscious programming through expectations and needs and attachments start to seep through. And what the mind starts doing is handing out roles. You're now playing the role of my father or my mother or combination or my, and so the unconscious mind starts to relate to you like related to the people in the past, because it's needing you in a similar way. It's vulnerable to you in a similar way, and therefore exposed to you, and therefore gets triggered because you're vulnerable. And so that's why we end up hurting the ones we love the most, because we're the most vulnerable to the ones we love the most. Creating conscious relationships.
I didn't really quite understand that one. So you get into a relationship for 6 months are wonderful. I've experienced that. And then definitely something kicks in and, you start to, like you said, have expectations of each other. You start to judge each other. Can you unpack that for me again a little bit?
Yeah. So when we come into a relationship, we come in to the relationship with our present moment awareness. Okay, that's why we're accepting each other unconditionally, and we're not projecting anything onto each other yet. We're not putting demands on one another. We are holding the space for one another, accepting each other unconditionally. That's why it's so good. We're a sanctuary for one another. We're seeing the best in one another. But as the relationship continues and we start to become attached to the relationship, we form a bond, a devotion, a commitment. Those attachments then start coming with expectations. You need to love me in a certain way or do a certain way because that's how I've been programmed to relate. But you don't know that program. I'm unconsciously imposing those expectations onto you. But you're not going to be able to live up to them because you don't even know what they are half the time. So that's called our baggage. So we come into the relationship mostly unconscious of our baggage, bring our baggage in, not even aware that it's there, but after a while it starts to infiltrate the relationship. So I start the relationship like this, but inevitably I start relating to you like this. I don't see you anymore, I only see my own expectations that I'm now imposing onto you and getting disappointed in you because you're not living up to them. And that's when our hearts start to close down and the cracks start to appear in the relationship. That make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So the challenge is how to get above that.
Right, because it doesn't mean that we should not have any relationships until we heal all our baggage, right? That's
not it. No, because in a sense, let's say we're in a relationship, on a level of consciousness, of true awareness, you're now my opportunity, because you're now going to be like a mirror shining my own baggage back to me.
Can you explain that?
Because you're going to trigger me. I'm attached to you. I'm expecting you to behave a certain way. You're not going to behave that certain way because you're going to just be doing your own behaviors and attachments. And so I'm going to be triggered by that. It's like, you've got to behave this and this and this way for me to trust that I love you. When you don't, I have a fear reaction. Now, we're now doing this process. So I am learning to accept myself unconditionally. So I'm learning to accept the fact that I'm human, I'm vulnerable, I'm scared, I'm confused, and I'm going to have fear reactions. Because I'm also learning to take full ownership of my mind, I'm now the parent of my mind. You know, treating my mind like an 11-year-old kid or, you know, younger, that is my responsibility. And so you're triggering my confusions. You're not causing them. But my child mind thinks you're causing them because my child mind is powerless. Those programs were built when I was powerless, when I was a child, when I didn't have agency. So I related to the world as that they're doing this to me.
You know what I've also noticed in my personal life, just now that you're pointing this out,
actually, yeah,
it's becoming quite clear that I'm actually not even aware of a lot of my baggage,
yeah,
until I'm in a relationship.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden, actually, it really sneaks up because, like you said, first it's quite nice. And then all of a sudden, it's like it turns into a nightmare and I'm finding myself to be someone that I don't recognize.
Yes.
That's always in the subconscious that,
yeah,
I haven't
looked
at yet.
Most of our social conditioning is done by the time we're basically 10 years old. And so it's not an adult that's running the relationship, it's a 10-year-old. So when we're arguing, having an argument, it's not adults arguing, it's 10-year-olds having an argument.
So when that happens, what is the, I guess, how do we approach it?
Yeah, so how do we solve that? How do we overcome that? How do we turn that into an opportunity? You know, so you're now, instead of being someone who doesn't love me anymore and how could you do that or whatever, you're now an opportunity for me to see my confusion that I've projected onto you. Okay, so unconditional self-acceptance enables me to look at my own self without judging me. It's accepting that I'm human, that I am conditioned, that I'm confused, you know, that I bring a child self into the relationship. So when we form a relationship with someone, there's four people in the room. There's our adult self, but it's our child programming. It's our child self that runs so much of our social interactions. It's different from, let's say, you know, the programs that we're running at work in much of the way, because they're programs we learned as adults. We went to college, we went to university, we went to whatever, you know what I mean? I mean, the social aspect of it can still be driven by the 10-year-old, but it's very different. But relationships are so different because that's tapping straight into those early programs. So my unconscious mind is seeing you like my parents, expecting you to be emotionally responsible for me like my parents were, expecting you to read my mind like a child expects a parent to read their mind. All these unconscious confusions are built into those programs.
I was actually talking to my housemate about this and we didn't really know how to unpack it, but
yeah.
She was in a relationship with someone for a while where she would act out in a certain way.
Yeah.
Because I think that she learned that when she does, the other person would react sort of like a parent.
Yeah.
And so we're incentivized to keep doing that.
That's right. Just keeps going. But, you know, and this is it. We hand out roles and the play just keeps perpetuating itself. I ditch this relationship, I get into another relationship 6 months later, we're playing the same roles again. you know, depending on the nature of your character. Sometimes your character can be so different that it doesn't actually tap into those old baggage in the same way, so that relationship may survive. Okay, but that's just out of good luck rather than good management, you know what I mean? And so to be conscious in a relationship and to see it as an opportunity to heal and grow, I'm accepting that I'm bringing my baggage in with me and you're going to trigger it. Therefore, you're the opportunity to help me see that baggage more clearly, to encounter it. And when I get triggered, because I'm accepting myself unconditionally, that's an opportunity to turn around and open my heart of love to that child part of myself that needed love back then. And now I've got the opportunity to love that part of myself now. So bring that part of myself into the heart, and in the process, you know, with the new perspective that I have, when I can stay present with my vulnerabilities, not fix them, because the child, nothing wrong with the child. The child only ever just needed love and mentoring. So we've got to love that part of ourselves first. That's not indulging it, because we're taking total responsibility for our mind as a parent. I'm not blaming you or anybody else for it, even though other people did this to me. But I'm an adult now. I'm my own parent now. That's the same for every adult on the planet. I have to own it. I'm the one, only one who can be the parent of myself now. You, as my partner, can't do that. You can't climb into my head and parent my own mind. Even if you want to, you can't do that. It won't work. Okay, so now that trigger is an opportunity for me to see where my wounded self needs love. I am the love to give to myself now. And so the total personal responsibility means that I've got to let you go. Recognize you triggered me, but, you know, and appreciate that, but let you go. And appreciate the trigger as the opportunity to bring my mind into myself. So this is very hard to learn at first, because the ego wants to fix it, get away from it, make it go away, because the ego is captured by the fight or flight mind that has no capacity to get above the mind. So all it knows how to do is run away, bash it over the head, or suppress it in some way, freeze or you know, push it down. It's all it can do. That's why we give people medication, that is just satisfying that need. Okay, but awareness can tap into our higher potential, which is unconditional love. That's called transcending the mind, so we can get above our conditioning and now start to see it with perspective. And that's when we can start to self-reflect and be a representative of love to ourselves. So this is the power of the process on that deeper level. And so that's why those principles have to be fundamental. They are your teacher. Life is your teacher. They represent the ultimate physics of life where consciousness is concerned. Total personal responsibility, which is the key to your power, to master your life, to your mind, which is your key to freedom, to be who you want to be, to create the life you want to create. And unconditional self-acceptance is your key to unconditional love. So it's the yin and the yang. You know, it's what a child needs. And so you're now birthing your own mind into your own consciousness. And now our relationship is facilitating that. Because I'm aware that I am human, that I've brought my baggage in with me. I'm not judging it. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just a product of being human. I can't be plopped on this planet and you know, be born into an environment in this world without getting some level of baggage. So the relationship now is an opportunity for me to see and encounter my baggage.
In order for that to work, not only do you need to fully accept yourself, right?
Yes.
But it seems like both people need to know what they're getting into, right? Because both of us have baggage.
Yeah. So there's various dynamics here when it comes to healing through a relationship. Now, it's wonderful if we're both conscious in our own process. That's not necessary though. You can be someone with just good solid conditioning. So therefore you're a rock, you know, you're consistent, you're persistent, and you're not reacting that much. You know, so you can hold the space for me while I'm doing my healing. Yeah, now that you realize, oh, I'm getting a handle on that and the triggering is not such a problem anymore, because you can trust that I'm going to own it and work through it and come back and say, yeah, this is what I experienced and this is what I learned. Okay, so that will work. It will work if we're both wounded, but we're both in a process and both healing. That still can be challenging because, you know, that we can get overwhelmed by the triggering. But, you know, if our process is strong enough, you know, and if we've got enough support networks, not relying on each other as the support network, but, you know, have our own ways of reinforcing our process, that is going to work. Now, if you're wounded but not in a process and denying that you're wounded and projecting it onto me, I can be learning and growing through that to a point, but there will come a point where I realize that that's just toxic and I've aware enough now to know that that's not serving me anymore. So my awareness has come to the point where I know we can't go any further because you're not willing to step into your own process, so then I need to let it go. But I can let it go in a conscious way without projecting stuff onto you. Even though you may project it onto me, I don't have to get caught into that. And so, you know, so that's the dynamics that tend to be there.
That's definitely something that I can personally take away.
Yeah.
Empowering yourself through the process.
All right, so that brings us to a very important point where knowing how to negotiate total personal responsibility, because that can be daunting, because we think, well, I should get it right, you know, I should be this or I should be that, or, you know, there's a lot of self-judgment comes out of that, and so, well, it's discipline, it's hard, it's... But no, we've got to drop all of that. It's understanding that, yeah, we're putting those principles in a fundamental position, total unconditional acceptance of, you know, and in a relationship, I'm not just learning to accept myself unconditionally, I'm learning to accept you unconditionally, to set you free to be who you are and your own process of learning and growing, which can be different to mine. Different timing of things that you're dealing with and understanding. I can't control that. I can only ever invite, encourage, inspire. I can't control. If I try to, that's conflict. Okay? And so acceptance is right across the board. And same with total personal responsibility. If I'm going to master my mind, I have to totally own it. But of course, I don't know how to yet. I'm learning. So there's not an expectation about getting it right. All we're doing here is having a go. We leave those principles up there. They're our teacher. We go to them every day to learn something more from the experience that we just had. We have a go at, you know, representing those principles to our own mind and to one another as best we can, as best we've grasped them on the day. And you know, and that can be not very good at all, but that's going to provide us an experience now that we can accept, and through that acceptance, get into the classroom of that experience and learn from it. It becomes our teacher. That's when things flip from being a problem to an opportunity. Life no longer is happening to us, it's now happening for us. And that's a total shift of consciousness. So it takes time to establish and ground ourselves into that. But once we're there, we're bulletproof. Doesn't mean life isn't going to knock us over, doesn't mean things aren't going to be a challenge, but we've got a process. We know how to be the parent of our mind. We know how to work things out. We go back to our process. You know, we pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, go back to the process and have another go, another go, another go, another go. So in this process, there is no are we there yet. It's open-ended. And when you leave it that way, that's the most efficient way to grow. You know, we're so often trying to fix this thing or grasp at it because we're not realizing that what's motivating, driving that is still fear. We're still trying to get away from it. And when we do that, we miss a whole bunch of stuff. We inevitably fall over ourselves again. Then we've got to go back and pick up what we were trying to escape from. And so this is the way of the tortoise rather than the hare. And the tortoise always wins. And again, like I said, it's the most efficient way because we're slowing down, appreciating the moment, learning to be present, learning to understand that life is happening for us. It's facilitating our awareness now. We're no longer a victim, we're a student of life. And everything begins to look different.
It's very powerful because, like you said, before this shift happens in perspective, everything that's happening to you is a problem. But after the shift, everything that's happening is the way to what you're actually trying to do, right?
That's right. And with this realization, we really start to comprehend consciousness. The realization that life is happening for us, not to us. Through practicing these principles and realizing that every moment now is an experience that we can learn from, that shifts your whole conscious awareness of life. Because you come to understand and feel and experience that life is working with you, life is not separate from your own consciousness. Life is your own consciousness on some ultimate level. And so it's coordinated with you. You know, ego might see, you know, this thing that's dropped into your lap as a pile of shit. But your awareness will come to understand that that shit is fertilizer for my consciousness. And when I can accept it, open to it, and work with it, own it. That shit is now reflecting my confusion and woundedness that I'm carrying in my mind's memories and conditioning. And it's taking me there where I can take my love to those parts of myself that I need to heal. So it's a gift. Everything, no matter what it is now going to be a gift, an opportunity. An experience. It doesn't matter how many times I fall over, mess up, make mistakes, stuff it up. It's just experience now. It's hard, it can be difficult, can be painful at first, but once we understand this process, it's going to all work for you. Because again, it'll just keep leading you to where that next layer of confusion, next layer of pain and suffering that, you know, that is the confusion is causing, that you can take your love and new levels of awareness that you now have. So the next level of awareness that you gain gives you the opportunity to go deeper in your mind with that level of awareness. You can, what you're ultimately doing is you're learning to lift your mind into your own consciousness. So that's what it truly means to become one with yourself. You're not becoming one with your mind. You're training your mind to become one with you as you're becoming one with your higher potential. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, so that's self-mastery. That's the path of awakening. And that's when we really not only start to feel a connection with life, but connection with you and everyone else. We're all a part of that tapestry. And the higher level consciousness of life is the fact that we're all here to evolve, not to live, consume and die, you know, and breed. That's, whilst we're doing that, we're here to evolve. So part of that shift is, as we're talking about, instead of seeing these things as problems, we're now seeing those challenges as opportunities. And as we gain more skill and experience, we're now starting to identify with the opportunity, with what we're gaining from that process, the gold within the pile of shit, if you like, that is transformed into gold, is the awareness, the healing, the wonderful connection that we gain. When we embrace our mind, our traumatized mind, into our heart, it's literally like we're embracing our own child who's letting go and melting into our arms. It is the similar experience. And so, yeah, there's still that discomfort and the difficulty and the confusion of the initial breaking into or reacting into a new level, you know, of trauma that has just surfaced. But we're starting to be more confident and welcoming that, because we're experienced and know the healing, the connection and deeper feeling of love and mastery that comes from that. So that's hugely empowering and exciting when we start to feel that.
Becoming the way.
There's no limit to the healing. You know, it's unconditional self-acceptance, unconditional acceptance of life. I mean, it's just fully encompassing and total personal responsibility. And so you put that up there and you leave that there, that's your teacher. You don't expect to get it right. It's just having a go. And this is a very important message. Having a go is the experience that you have each day, and with the acceptance enables you to learn from that experience and just keep growing. It's open-ended. There's no "are we there yet?" It's just a journey of continual evolvement. When you do that, when you commit to that and get traction and understand that, there's so many benefits that come from that. For one, life never gets stale, because you're always evolving. There's never a groundhog day. There's always something more to learn. And life stops becoming problems. Everything starts becoming opportunities to learn and grow. So there's more of your potential in every challenge that you're facing. And you get to a point where once you experience enough, it's self-management, self-healing, self-awareness, you're bulletproof. Life can throw anything at you. You're the master craftsman. You know what to do with it. So that's why it becomes an opportunity. So nothing can defeat you anymore. It can knock you over, but you just get up, dust yourself off, plug back into the process, and you then grow from it. Everything is feeding you now. Everything is an opportunity. But then through that, you come to understand synchronicity. You know, because you're learning to be able to not just tune into your humanness, you're tuning into your higher consciousness, which is connected to the collective consciousness and the consciousness of life. And so you realize everything that's coming your way, you've already ordered up yourself on some higher level of consciousness. So everything is actually working for you, facilitating your evolving. So life is your guide. Life is ultimately you, your higher consciousness. But that's you know. And so life works for you. It's happening for you, not to you. You know. And so that's the ultimate power that we gain from going to those next levels of this process.